Hi folks, my name is Linda Emmett and welcome to Happiness is an Inside Job. We are the creators of our own reality, we create our own lives. Our mind is our biggest limit and it's our own beliefs, behaviours and habits constantly caught in those cycles that keep us trapped where we are and stand in the way of our own happiness. So throughout this podcast, we're going to take a deep dive into some of those beliefs, habits and patterns, where they show up in your lives and what you can do to change them. Hi folks and welcome aboard this week's podcast. And as we did one a month ago for the women of the world, those beautiful ladies out there, this week's one is focusing on men and in particular their emotional and mental health and the differences between the struggles that men come up against in comparison to women. So men in society alone, and I suppose the evolutionary echoes that are passed down in societal beliefs, do struggle more with coming forward and stepping up to get support, any kind of support, because, you know, there's this belief carried down, and again this is systemic, that they're supposed to be tough, self-reliant, the protectors, the providers, and that they should be able to manage their pain and take charge of situations. You know, this is an expectation that all our male counterparts tend to carry, and this can make it extremely hard for men forced off to acknowledge or accept that they are struggling with their mental health, let alone, you know, look at and label it as their, you know, their emotional and mental well-being. Because I know even for me doing classes and things like that, predominantly I will have women turn up, and it's not by any means because I believe at all that, you know, women need it more or anything like that. It's just women will tend to look after their emotional health and step into those spaces a bit more readily than men. And I do think, to be fair, it's because there's a bit more of acceptance. Women are seen as more emotional creatures, the criers, you know, they show emotion. The label, you know, is that men don't. So it's more acceptable for a woman to turn up at a cacao ceremony, you know, a meditation class, breath work, different things like that. It's easier. It's inside the norm, inside the paradigm, where it's not as acceptable for men. So it does also cut them off on working on their emotional and mental health and creating and being in those safe spaces and having those kind of connections to, you know, balance out their nervous system, let go of what's happened within their week or any emotional baggage or traumas. It isn't as the done thing so much for men, you know. And looking at even depression within men, you know, depression is, you know, it's quite a serious mental health issue, and it is extremely unlikely for it to get better by itself. What we normally do is we run away from it, move away from it, or do things to distract ourselves from it. But if it remains untreated, for want of a better word, if we're not working on the creation, the root cause of it, it doesn't tend to leave by itself, you know. And it's like everything. If we have a broken arm or broken foot, we'll go to a hospital and have, you know, those superb professionals reset it, fix it, put it in a cast, do those things, you know. And it is the same with our emotional and mental health. It's the same with depression. We need to seek support from professionals to overcome, because again, and especially for men, we're not taught the tools. We're not taught how to deal with things like this. And again, I think in particular within Irish culture, in what we're coming out of, I think we were an extremely oppressed culture with, you know, the religion and how we should be, how we should act, how we should behave within, you know, having Magdalene laundries and, you know, things like that, that we were put in if, you know, you were seen to be a bit you know, promiscuous, a bit, if you were seen to behave outside the norm, or if something happened to you or anything like that, this is where you were put. And historically in Ireland, the likes of, you know, psychiatric wards or madhouses, as they were called, were like horrific places. So there was a huge terror in and around expressing in any way, shape or form that you had a mental health issue. And that's if you knew it. That's if you knew you had one in the first place. It was more a put up and shut up culture. Do you know what I mean? You know, women remained at home, you know, rearing the kids and crying into our cornflakes. And men, you know, they went down to the pub and they just had to drink their feelings. It was the way we were. And in part, I do believe, because we do carry down, you know, generational trauma and wounds within ourselves. And, you know, it is on us to do that, do the work on ourselves. And I, as I say, for men, it was very much, you know, they weren't to have those type of feelings. And then if you are living, if you grew up in Ireland on top, you know, we were even more oppressed for a really long time, you know. But like the reality is, untreated depression has a very high risk for suicide, you know, especially if it's longer term, because depression itself comes with a level of hopelessness, a feeling of hopelessness that there is no way out. So one of the escapes that we may seek is suicide. It's the only way out, especially if we're not sharing how we're feeling. And then, you know, there's also the feeling like you're a burden. You're a burden on other people. And the facts are, you know, when we look at the statistics of depression within Ireland alone, 80% are male. So there is, I mean, like the statistics themselves are telling us there's a huge problem there. There's a huge weight difference in the level of suicide in males and in females. And we have to start asking ourselves why. And for me, I truly believe that this is why, because men don't get to work on their emotional and mental health as readily as women do. And it shows up in men differently, and different things cause depression in, there are differences between males and females. And then, I mean, like even down to if a relationship breaks up tomorrow, and they had a home together and children, possibly having children together as well. It's more times than not, most of the time, that the male leaves the home. So not only has the relationship broke down, but he's also lost his home. And unfortunately, with the level of homelessness within this country, when they go into the system, the homeless system, after possibly sofa surfing for a long time on friends' sofas and things like that, if they can't get anywhere to live and they go into the system, again, the system is weighted towards housing families. Even we're in our hostels and hotels and things, the men are the bottom of the pile. Because, as I say, they gear towards families. Now, I'm not saying the rights or wrongs of that. I'm just saying that's a fact. So even there, they're the bottom of the pile. And that really, I've worked with the homeless for a long time. Like, it tears away at a person's dignity and self-respect to not have the basics like a home. And this can be where a lot of our men struggling with depression and things like that can potentially end up. True relationship breakups, marriage breakdowns and things like that, job losses and just not having enough money to pay the rent. And these certainly drive up the statistics for suicide within men. And the highest rates are in the ages of 35 to 54. And this is also the highest rate of relationship breakups. So I do think they go hand in hand. But some of the other reasons that I think play into suicide in men and a lack of them opening up and speaking about their feelings. Now, don't get me wrong, I'll say this before I move on. I have such amazing male clients that come in my door. And they're, you know, they're really, really, they're lovely human beings. And the main reason when they first come in the door, and I'll say to them, you know, we'll sit and have a chat. The main reason they've come is because they've said, my wife told me. She told me to come here. And you know, 50% of the time, the call will actually come from their wife, not them. Now, I'll set up a call with them and have a chat. But it's actually the the wife, the partner that will actually make that initial call and go seek the help for them. And they'll turn up and like that, will have phenomenal results. And they, you know, men shift extremely quickly. Do you know what I mean? And they love the practical side of the brain and the system and how we function and emotions and things like that. And they will, they'll shift very quickly, even within hypnotherapy. It's amazing. But a lot of the time, their wife has actually made the call for them. Which just shows that there is still that toxic masculinity sitting over men. And this stops them making those calls, stops them reaching out themselves. And it, a lot of the time, whether they ask the wives or not, but their female counterparts, their partners are making the call for them. So looking at the creation, we've heard the word toxic masculinity thrown around in a number of different contexts, but my belief is that it has a massive impact on men. You know, the training is, and the thought process and the beliefs behind it are, to be a real man, we've all heard that phrase, you have to suppress your emotions, you have to act tough and behave a certain way, which makes it really so much harder for them to deal with, you know, one, difficult emotions, but two, to actually reach out for help when they need it. And what happens is they feel then they can't talk, they can't speak out, and men are far more likely, and the statistics are there, to reach for the something, as in the bottle or the drug or the prescription, to self-medicate what they're feeling and what they can't manage within themselves. Do you know what I mean? And this comes from this toxic masculinity 100% comes from society, evolutionary echoes, generational beliefs, but it's still, you know, it's carried from women onto men, men onto men, and it's still very prevalent there. And as I say, it really does stop them reaching out. Do you know what I mean? Like, men will shoot down other men as much as women will. I mean, we've heard the phrase man up. Do you know what I mean? That's still regularly used now, you know, man up. And do you know what I mean? And that's basically, you know, suck it all up and, you know, don't show any emotions. Be brave, be strong, be masculine. And, you know, being vulnerable is just unmanly, isn't it though? You know, and this is the belief. Whereas, as I often say, you know, we're all emotions. It shouldn't be, you know, boys will be boys or boys don't cry, or do you know what I mean? Because that certainly isn't the actual facts of it. And the statistics that show the rates of depression and the rates of suicide that are out there for men now. So they are things that we need to be talking about and reaching out for those supports and those help, that help when it's needed. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, instead we have a lot of men suffering alone that can't or won't or never learn to admit vulnerability, to, you know, to step away from that traditional masculine, you know, tough, stoic image that we have of men, the self-identity that they're carrying themselves and the identity that's put on them. And because a result of this is that men are left battling with emotional and mental health issues that they aren't seeking help for, which drives loneliness then. Because that leaves them very cut off, because their only other option when they're low, depressed, sad, any of these emotions, is not to be seen. Because if you have to show up as a man and depression and sadness and things like that aren't part of the self-identity a man has, well, then he's just not showing up when he's feeling this way, which drives the loneliness, which drives the depression. And then he's caught in a cycle where he's extremely lonely, unable to manage the depressive feelings that he's feeling. And, you know, as I say, the statistics show that the suicide rates are showing the results of that. You know, so it is something that we hugely need to start shifting. And that's one, in education, and two, in our view of what a man should be and his own view of what he should be, in that he should be, you know, the protector, the provider. Society has shifted so much. The roles of women have massively changed over the past 5-6 decades, but it meant within that there was a huge shift for males as well. Whereas women were far more out in the workforce and the provider and all of those things. So that you know, reptilian role that, that men had, that also shifted within that. But they do still carry that protector, provider, like some of the clients I have in here, as I say, the male ones. And, you know, I'd say about 30% of them are here because they're, you know, their wife ran because their wife got sick. And they're here because they're carrying a huge amount of guilt because they couldn't protect their wives from the illness. And because they carry the guilt of that, they turned to an addiction, some form of a numbing or dumbing behaviour. And this is what they're showing up before. But the root behind it is, you know, that role they're carrying as protector, provider and all of these things. Like, as I said, when men lose their job, it strips their identity because they're no longer the provider. So it hugely impacts their self-worth. So a lot of this needs to change. And this comes from educating our children, educating obviously our adults, ourselves as well, but educating our children, because otherwise we're looking at these rates going up. And like, even knowing the differences between the symptoms of depression and anxiety in men and in women, because there are differences. I've certainly seen it with the clients I have. Men, depression in men will show up differently to how it shows up in women. Like, men will be, it'll be more in anger with men, more in, they're extremely irritable, they're irritated, they're up at 9, 10 on their stress levels. It won't necessarily at all show up in sadness or in any form of vulnerability, because again, the paradigm says that's not acceptable. So it shows up within anger. They're, you know, they're putting a lid on explosiveness within work, at home, you know, with employees, with, you know, co-workers, friends, all of this stuff. It's shown up in anger, rage, resentment, irritability. They're trying to manage that then by burying it in, as I say, addictive behaviours and things like that, and creating more of a problem. So it is very different to how it shows up in women. And, you know, in women, it'll show up as more a worthlessness, mood swings, crying a lot throughout the day, or do you know what I mean? Crying at the drop of a hat. Whereas men, as I say, it's anger, irritability, restlessness. Within physical symptoms, they will struggle sometimes with the likes of sexual dysfunction issues. It'll show up there, again, attacking their masculinity. You know, there's this belief that it makes you a man for, you know, your knob penis always to be working and functioning. Again, we're emotional beings. One is directly connected to the other. It's not just mechanical, but it's one of the spaces. Digestive issues that shows up with men, hernias, different things like that, heart palpitations. Again, some of this is connected back to the emotional, the anger, the irritability. Obviously, they're in a much, their whole system is in threat response, a higher state of threat, and their nervous system is overworked. But these are some of the ways that depression actually shows up in men. So again, we're not always seeing that it's underneath it, it's depression. It's not just rage. And it's in an understanding of this that, you know, we can begin to start working on the root that's behind that. And I do truly believe that some of the roots behind that is that identity that's placed on men. Same way women struggle with the identity that's placed on them and how we've to show up, which I talked about in a previous podcast. Men have the same issue, but they are just not as vocal in speaking out or getting that support. Whereas women, it's more acceptable within society for us to get that support. Do you know what I mean? It's easier for women to reach out. It's more acceptable. But for us, it's knowing the difference between what shows up as depression in men and what shows up in women, and having an understanding of that. As I always say, folks, change begins within, and that is in, change begins with us. We have the power in that, and it's making it more acceptable for to go forward, to seek support, help, to get educated, to understand what's going on within ourselves. Because it's we're so much better when it comes to the physical stuff. As I say, if we've a broken arm, a broken leg, a headache, you know, we treat it. It's the same with our emotional being, our emotional body. And men and women, we all have the same emotions running in our system. We all have the same issues that hit us within life, grief, pain, loss, all of these things. So we have the same Right, and the same, you know, I don't know what the other word is I'm looking for there, but we all should be going forward, men or women, and getting the help, getting the support, getting the understanding and reaching out and okaying it for ourselves from a ground level. And that's how you change these things within yourself. I know so many men that I can visibly see struggling with anxiety, but if they're, you know, no one can take from you what you're not willing to release. And if they're, you know, not in a space yet where they're not willing to come forward because they have their own judging critic and the own weight of their own identity sitting on top of what how they should be and how they should show up and what they should and shouldn't do or what they should and shouldn't show. They need to take the tiny step through a little bit of that and just get out there and get the help, get the support, reach out, even if it's on, you know, to a friend. If your first step is going on to the likes of Google and just finding out how these different things feel and little tools to start working with them. But this is what we need to do, and we need to be okaying it more. We're in ourselves and we're in society, and losing that, those hereditary beliefs that don't help any of us of what a man or a woman should be, and show up as humans and show up for each other instead of, you know, judging each other in some ways. You know, we've had too much of that, and we've had it for too long. And that's my last word on this. So, you know, go be emotional beacons out there, folks. Okay, doodles. So that's it for me for this week, guys. I hope you've really enjoyed it and got some fabulous takeaways. And as always, I invite you to connect in with me across social media or check me out on my website, www.yourgifttoyou.com, or email me, linda@yourgifttoyou.com, guys, because I'd love to hear from you and any topics you'd like for us to talk about or any more learnings that you want. And please remember, give me those reviews because it keeps the podcast getting out there to more people. So chat to you very soon, guys. Bye-bye.